All righty, the scripture readings from Numbers 5 and Mark chapter 1. Boy, you talk about, they use the language seeker sensitive. You have to be sensitive to people when they come to worship and what they hear. We're dealing with leprosy today, but it's what the Word of God teaches. So hear the Word of God, Old Testament reading, Numbers chapter 5 and verses 1 to 4. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the people of Israel that they put out of the camp everyone who's leprous or has a discharge, and everyone who is unclean through contact with the dead. You shall put out both male and female, putting them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camp, in the midst of which I dwell." And the people of Israel did so and put them outside the camp, as the Lord said to Moses, so the people of Israel did. In the New Testament reading, for those visiting with us, we're working through the book of Mark, and we come to the end of chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. And a leper came to him, that is to Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he, that of course is Jesus, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. The grass withers and the flowers fade away. The word of our Lord stands forever, and you say together, "Thanks be to God, amen and amen." And now, our Lord, come by the Holy Spirit. We long for the day when you shall return, Lord Jesus, and bring in new heavens and new earth, and all will be filled with your glory. But now we pray that you will do that work by the Holy Spirit as the gospel is preached here and throughout the world. Fill us with your glory and transform us from glory to glory, just as by the Lord the Spirit. For we pray in that Lord's blessed name. Amen. Please be seated. I think for today, you will probably want to turn to the scripture reading on page 5. And there's a little more space for you to take your notes in there. It begins with a spot. And it's a spot that has probably been in an incubation process for 5 years as a result of a bacteria with which you've come in contact. Then there's more spots and a rash. And what was white, pale, begins to turn red, and it begins to affect your whole body, particularly the face, and your ears, your nose, and your eyes. And as those spots begin to work their infection into your system, your nerves begin to become numb, and you lose your feeling in your fingers and in your toes. You lose your feeling in your nose and in your ears as well. And that loss of feeling is so complete that in cultures in which you had to stay warm by a fire or cook by a fire, your fingers and your toes would be right next to, if not actually in, the fire. And the fire would burn off the ends of your extremities. And gradually, your fingers became little nubs, and your toes began to be completely disintegrated. Interestingly, this disease does not really affect your mind. And that's what makes it a particular torture. Because as you look at your limbs, and as you look in a mirror at your face, you see the disfigurement and the ugliness. and in cultures in which antiseptic things were relatively unknown, there began to be a horrible stench. And you were not wanted in your own family. You were not wanted in your own community. You were not wanted in the religious gathering of your people. In fact, in the Old Testament, you were specifically excluded into what we would know of today as a leper colony. And while people do not really die of this disease, they so begin to lose their own senses due to numbness that they lose their will to live and gradually just expire. And there was no cure for this disease that is called leprosy until leprosy meets Jesus. And that's what we're going to be looking at today in the text in Mark chapter 1 and verses 40 to 45. Now, I'm going to borrow from the practice in some churches. I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan some years ago and was in worship at a particular congregation. The minister spoke for 45 minutes. He opened up the text in Acts and he explained it. He did a remarkable job, I must admit. And then we stood up to sing a psalm, and I thought things were done, and then we all sat down, and then the minister for another 45 minutes began to do the application of the sermon. I'm not going to do it quite like that today. It'll be a little bit shorter, but I'm going to borrow that model. I think that's going to be most useful for this. What I want to do is go through Mark chapter 1 and verses 40 to 45 with you under three heads. I'm just going to tell you the story. And as you're looking at these verses, there's what I'm calling contagious holiness. You'll see the reason for this in a minute. Remember, leprosy is a contagious disease. But leprosy meeting Jesus is contagious leprosy meeting contagious holiness in Jesus. You see that in verses 40 to 42. And then in verses 42 to 44, we won't spend a lot of time with it, but Jesus and the law. Jesus does something here that has more than one signification to it, but I want you to see what Jesus and the law is all about, verses 43 and 44. And then, very interesting, I want you to see how the tables are turned in verse 45. And there's a reason, again, for why that's used here. Okay, so let me tell you the story, and then we'll deal with the application of it to today. A leper comes to Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, believe it or not, there's two chapters, Leviticus 13 and 14, and they are long chapters. Number Leviticus 13, what the priest is to do when people were to come to him with what may be cases of leprosy, and how you determine if it's contagious or not, if it really is leprosy, and so on. Because leprosy is kind of a general term for skin diseases. So you have chapter 13 there, and then chapter 14 in Leviticus, equally long, is how there's to be a declaration that a leper is clean, which basically means it's not a contagious leprosy. But anyway, so the Old Testament knew about lepers, and there's one very dramatic illustration of that in the book of Numbers, when Miriam, Moses' sister, has really gotten out of line. And the Lord is showing that you don't mess around with God, and she becomes leprous. And the description that her brother gives of Miriam is she is as one dead of whom her flesh is half eaten. That's how, and if you see pictures of lepers. I've actually seen them in a leper colony in Suriname and been with them. It is an ugly sight, folks. But it's more than ugly. Listen to the language. As one dead of whom the flesh is half eaten. Actually, that's in Numbers. Well, in the book of Leviticus, in that chapter that I mentioned to you where there's references to leprosy, in chapter 13, you read this. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, He shall cover his upper lip, because there would be the leprosy would affect. It was particularly ugly there. And he would cry out, unclean, unclean. And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He's unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp, which is where the dead bodies were put. Now, why make a point of this? The Old Testament wants you to see that leprosy is a living death. You may not be aware of it, and it's not the kind of thing we think about a whole lot, but after a person has died, that hair will continue to grow for a while. And the clothes, of course, with which a person is buried are eventually going to be tattered. And that person is alone in the place of the dead. And that language of the way the leper was to dress was a living reminder of what death is all about. And I mean, even the very thought of it is repulsive, and it's meant to be. So all of this is the backdrop to this little phrase, a leper comes to Jesus. And he implores him. The word technically means to call alongside of. He comes close to Jesus. He wouldn't touch him because they weren't supposed to touch the Jews. He would have been afraid to do that. But he comes as close as he can to Jesus. And essentially he's pleading with him and kneeling. And he says, so catch this, folks. That this man has probably had this leprosy for many, many years. And he's heard of Jesus' healing power, and this is a hope for him. And so he comes to him, and notice the submission. If you will, you can make me clean. He could have said, Lord, you have the power to do it. Make me clean. But there's this beautiful humility and submissiveness. Isn't that great? If you want, if you will, if it's your will, you can make me clean, as he comes to Jesus. And I want you to get this window on Jesus. Moved with pity. The Greek word is literally intestines, which, or we would say his insides were wrenched. See, Jesus, folks, he's not a computer with algorithms. He's a man, and he's God. And all of the emotions of perfect man, and all, if you will, of the depth of the love of God himself are wed in the God-man. And it's expressed by this word, he was moved with compassion, or as some versions have, he was moved with anger. And they're both true here. Jesus, folks, grieves over the mess that this world has become because of the sin of our first parents. He doesn't laugh at what is here, and he's not insensitive to it. This is God coming in touch with the pollution of a fallen world, and he's moved with pity, and also there is an anger. Not a sinful, because Jesus didn't sin, but an anger. Why did this happen in the world? And that's important for you, because aren't these things that you go through? You see, we just hear the story of the Pakistani woman. And you say, my heart goes out to her. The nearest we would have to this is it's Jesus had a bout of colitis. He was that wrenched over what happened. That sensitivity of God, and again, all of the holy anger of God that this has happened in the world. So when you experience trials yourself, or in trials in the lives of your friends, your family members, please don't think that Jesus is way out there away. He is the one who is sensitive to these things. He's moved with pity, and this is great. You weren't to touch a leper, because you came in contact for too long with a leper, and guess what? You get that. Jesus' holiness is far more powerful than this leprosy that makes him a walking dead person. Jesus reaches out, stretches out his hand, and touched him. And he said to him, I will. And you must remember that, brothers and sisters. Our Lord doesn't condition his promises. He will, he will, he will. There's no doubt, I will be clean. And he does what no priest could do. Priest could declare that you did not have leprosy. Jesus says to him, be clean. And immediately, the leprosy literally went out from him. It's the same language used of the casting out of the demons. And it's pointing forward to a day. Remember all the miracles Jesus does in history. They're previews of coming attractions. When our Lord comes back, all that is evil, all that is connected with sin, all that's connected with illness and death is literally cast away. And there's a little picture of that and what's done as the leprosy leaves him and he is made clean. And so Jesus is God. He can do this, and he does this. If you could go back in a time machine, you could see this, right? So this is the contagious holiness greater than the leprosy. And then Jesus in the law. And there's a lot more to this, but let me just kind of skim the surface for you. Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. Now, there's a reason he sternly charged him. People were finding out that Jesus was doing these miracles. And he is up in Galilee. He is in the area where Herod was the governor. Herod was the one who had put John the Baptizer in prison and beheaded him. And Herod was no doubt on the lookout for what he believed would be a military Messiah who would come and squash the Romans and exercise rule over the land. That would have been sedition. It would have been rebellion. And Jesus, as to his humanity, is safeguarding his own mission. His first mission isn't even to heal lepers or to cast out demons. It's to go to the cross. And so he sternly charges him and says to him, basically he's going to tell him to be quiet. He sends him away, as you'll find out a little bit. He sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. That is up in this area, Galilee. But go, now this is going down to Jerusalem, okay? This is about 60 or 70 miles to the south, and they didn't have Long Island Railroad, although I don't know, maybe it would have taken just as long to walk back then, but he was supposed to go down to Jerusalem. He sent him away at once, and he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests. There were loads of priests in Jerusalem. You could come to some of them, they could declare you didn't have leprosy, and he wanted the priest to do, this was according to the law, to make the declaration that this man was clean. He did not have contagious leprosy. And he said, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them, a sacrifice that was to be part of the thanks to the Lord. Now, why do this? Remember that Jesus came to be a witness to Israel. He came first to his own people. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we love especially the conversion of Jews. And so he says, be a witness of the fact that I'm a Messiah doing these things. I do what nobody else has ever done. Okay, I mean, there was a leper in the Old Testament who was cleansed. Didn't happen a lot. But it was basically saying the great prophet who can cleanse has come. I want you to be that witness to them. And also, here's the reason. Jesus is going to be accused of violating the law. You touched a leper. And so rather than being thrilled that the leper was healed, the legalists say, you touched a leper. Jesus says, you go and you do exactly what the law says. Go to the priest, let him see that you have no leprosy, make a declaration, offer up your sacrifice of pigeons or whatever it would be, turtle doves, as thanks to the Lord. That's a proof to them. I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. And so he wants him to do that. But this is what happens. And notice how the tables are turned. But people make a big deal out of the fact that this man was disobedient to Jesus. And I'm not taking that away. But he went out and he began to talk freely, literally began to preach about it. He was giving the good news about it and to spread the news. Now, maybe I'm being light on this man's disobedience. But this is the way I look at this. This fellow has woken up for I don't know how many days. If it was a leper, obviously it was pretty advanced leprosy. And he knew that it was leprosy. And you wake up every morning and you do look at limbs that have been burned. Remember what happens. You lose your sensation in your fingers. And you've got to work with fire because that's how they cooked and how they kept warm at night. And you don't know that your fingers are in the fire. And what happens? I mean, I've seen the stubs of people who are lepers, and it's horrible. He sees that. And he, if there were such a thing as mirrors, I would imagine there were, at least in the water, you could see yourself. This is ugly. And he knew there was no cure for this. And he's made well. He could look at himself and see, my fingers are healed, and my ears aren't disfigured, and my nose is not disfigured, and all the wrinkles and the scabs that disfigured my face are gone, and I can feel things again. Wouldn't you go out and tell everybody as well? Again, I know Jesus told him to be quiet, but he's thrilled at what he does, and that's why there is this language of preaching and telling people good news. It's what Christians do when you tell them what Jesus has done for your soul. So he goes out and he tells them, but it was still disobedience. And what had happened is Jesus couldn't go into Galilee anymore. Why? Because everybody is wanting to come to Jesus. And this then, of course, prompts the problem with Herod listening. Who is this guy that's attracting these crowds of people? And as to Jesus' humanity, he had to protect himself so that he could go to the cross. And so he's no longer able to minister in the towns. But he goes out into desolate places. And there's where people continued to come to him. But at least it was not in the public quarter. He went out into desolate places. Why does it say that? If you were a leper, you were supposed to go into a desolate place. You were supposed to be away from humanity. This is Jesus who has taken the place of the leper. The leper who is now in the city telling people about Jesus. Jesus has taken his place and is in the wilderness. And remember that the Gospels are always pointing you to the cross. As you go through the Gospels, there are these road signs. They don't have to say C-R-O-S-S, but they're road signs pointing you to that place where Jesus would be what? Despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, taking your place. And Mark, writing under the inspiration of God very deftly, says, now Jesus is in the place of the leper. That's the profound love of your God, folks. And I say this in one way or another every week. This is not like any other religion. This is God. I'm going to put it this way. He rolls up his shirt sleeves and he gets his hands and feet dirty to make you clean. Okay, now, so that's the story. And it's a wonderful, fascinating story. Now, let me give you, our Dutch brothers would say, the application. Okay, the application of the text, okay? Many writers in the past and today have made the profound point and the right point that leprosy, the plague of plagues in the Old Testament, the plague of leprosy, is really a picture of the plague of this thing that we call sin. I know people like to hear the word sin, but sin is man falling short of God's glory. Sin is why this world is such a mess. And it's amazing that People don't want to talk about sin, but they face it in one way or another in everything. And sin is the leprosy of the soul. And the parallels are absolutely fascinating. Sin gestates in us. We inherit it from our parents, from our first parents. But it gestates and it develops. And when sin erupts in you, in one way or another, it disfigures. It may not outwardly disfigure, although in time it does. You can see the effects of a life of rampant sin in the hardness and in the strain and the premature aging of those who give their lives to the leprosy of sin. And in the same way, leprosy affects your nerves. You don't feel the way you did. Part of the deceptiveness of sin is you don't feel what it does. You may even feel like you're okay, but it is gradually destroying the sensitivities of your own soul. And it does separate you from God, right? It keeps you away from Him because we are unclean. And we are the walking dead as well. Our young people in Franklin Square would take time to talk about the latest zombie movie and how zombies and sin were similar, but that's really what it is. And there is a gradual death in which you're quite conscious, but you're also wasting away. And there's even a stench that comes from a sinful lifestyle. Okay? So don't be embarrassed about that. Can you see yourself in the position of this leper here? Isaiah says we are all as an unclean thing. By nature, you and I, folks, are lepers. You've got to be honest about that. Look at the text, though. You, in order to be healed of your sin, what do you need to do? You need to come to Jesus. And as surely as you read about this leper, notice that he, to be healed, comes to Jesus. And he does what we do. He comes alongside. He comes close to him. Now, you're not close to Jesus in bodily form. He's in heaven. But when his word is preached, the Bible says he's near to you. He's near to you, right? The Lord is near to you now as the word is preached. And so he comes to Jesus and he begs him. Christians, folks, are holy beggars. And he begs Jesus to heal him. And he kneels. Frankly, kneeling, I love kneeling. Kneeling's a position of humility. If you don't know what it is to be humbled before God, you don't know God. He kneels before God, and I love this. He says, if you will, Lord, I'm before your sovereignty. And you're the one who does your will in heaven and on earth. Lord, I know you can do it, but will you? Will you make me clean? Beautiful picture of what it is to come before the Lord as those who are honestly saying, Lord, I need to be saved, and I am a leper. See, folks, please get this. People ultimately aren't lost because their sins are so bad. They're ultimately lost because they don't come to Jesus to make them better. There's nothing prohibiting you from coming to Him. And then as you continue to look at the text, notice that the Jesus that you meet, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you see Jesus as moved with pity when you come to him? See, there are people who say, well, you know, if you really want pity, you need to come to Jesus' mother. Folks, you don't need to come to Jesus' mother. Jesus is moved with pity. And you come before him in that way, and he hasn't changed. And while Jesus doesn't literally stretch out his hand, he gives the Holy Spirit to you to change you and to do inside of you exactly what was done with the leper. That's the Jesus that you meet. And what does he do? Again, parallels are remarkable. The priest, and Jesus is one, could declare that you were clean. Jesus, folks, makes you clean on the inside. He gives you his own contagious righteousness, yours. And he therefore declares you are absolutely righteous. You are not unclean. You are clean. That's what we call justification. He declares us righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus put into our account and received by faith alone. He does what the priests could do in the Old Testament to declare people clean, but he does more. He actually makes you clean. Now, this is where Jesus is before his time. There are ways that you can be not necessarily cured, but at least keep the leprosy at bay today. And it's basically a bacteria which causes leprosy. You can have antibacterial things and so antibiotics. And so there's regimens of antibiotics that you can use that will gradually clean you up. Not take care of the disfigurement, but at least keep the leprosy at bay. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to you, who's the great antibacterial, if I could put it that way. And he gradually begins to clean you up from the inside. Again, the parallels are phenomenal. There is in the Bible something called the beauty of holiness, and it is. Women have the I don't know why they don't see this of men, but it does say this of women, the beauty of a meek and a quiet spirit, and it is. And there's a particular beauty in Christian womanhood that is marked by a meek and quiet spirit. And there's also a certain handsomeness and attractiveness in a Christian man who displays Christ. Beauty over against the leprosy of sin is restored. And spiritual sensitivities. I'm sensitive to truth. I'm sensitive to love. I'm sensitive to mercy. I'm sensitive to faith. I'm sensitive to not grieving the Holy Spirit. Those sensitivities that go away with leprosy are restored by the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And I'm not stretching it too much, folks. We're even called an aroma of Christ, not a stench that comes from the decay of leprosy, but the aroma. We are an aroma, a fragrance of Christ. And you're not facing death. See, for leprosy, it's hopelessness. It's hopelessness in a body. That word's not even in the vocabulary of a Christian. There is no such thing as hopelessness to a Christian who has the God of hope. You're looking at everlasting life, and you have it right now. So see, the parallels are... Now, here's where it's different, okay? Jesus no longer, as to his humanity, has got to be careful about Herod or anybody else. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he says right now, I'm not going to tell you to keep your mouth shut, go open it. And do exactly what this man does. He tells people the good news. He's telling people he began to speak freely about these things. He went out, he speaks freely about these things, and he spreads the news. Do you do that as a Christian? Lord, this is what you've done for my soul. And when you've saved me, you've taken away my guilt and my shame. You've made me righteous in Christ. You're cleaning me up. You're making me not just what I was meant to be before the fall, but you're making me a foretaste of what I'm supposed to be in glory, where I can't sin anymore. That's great, folks. So you send that out as people who are redeemed. But it all begins when you say, I'm a leper. Can you say that? And I'm right there with you, folks. We're a leper colony by nature. I'm the leper. To be honest, you have to say that about yourself by nature. Don't ever stop there. You come to Christ, you come to Christ the way the leper did. And here, I think this is caught up so beautifully in the hymn, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore." Can't you picture the leprosy? Jesus ready stands to save you, to liberate you, to heal you, to cleanse you, full of pity, love, and power. "Come ye thirsty." And that's another thing with leprosy. As it goes on, you develop a terrible, almost an unquenchable thirst. "Come ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty, glorify true belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. I am the leper. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry, if you wait until you're better, remember I am the leper, you'll never come at all. I will rise and go to Jesus. He will save me from my sin. By the riches of his merit, there is joy and life in him." Leprosy meets Jesus, and Jesus always wins. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you that we can, in these messages through Mark, go back in a time machine and to this place in Galilee, some 30 years or so after the birth of Christ. And Lord, we could see the disfigured leper, and perhaps even smell his stench, but we can see his faith, that he would leave the colony that he was in, and he would make his way to Jesus and come before him for mercy. And we could see all the healing work that Jesus does. And our Lord, we pray that you would bring us, by your grace, to work in us, that we freely confess, I am the leper. And then may we, with a sense of what the plague of plagues, sin, does, may we come to Jesus knowing that he, in the very same way, cleans us from within, declares us righteous, and gives us the antibacterial of the Holy Spirit to make us a holy people. Work in all of us, we pray, to that end, for Jesus' magnificent sake. Amen.